Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees, the SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Today, the National Union of Healthcare Workers is calling on 4,000 of its members in California to walk out on Kaiser Permanente for 24 hours, from 7 a.m. today to 7 a.m. tomorrow. As many as 17,000 registered nurses with the California Nurses Association, as well as other workers with a smaller engineers union, could join the action in sympathy. Kaiser facilities will still be open, staffed with replacement workers. NUHW member Ann Amato in Sacramento is particularly well-suited to describe the contract dispute with the HMO.
I am a licensed clinical social worker. I'm a therapist, and I've worked for Kaiser for going on 18 years. And I am also an NUHW steward and a part of the bargaining committee.
So what is the union's beef?
We're on strike for a stronger voice in to protect patient care. We've needed to increase our staffing levels for years, and also to keep Kaiser from cutting our benefits at a time when they're making record profits. And we presented an entire package last March, and they haven't responded, and we keep asking them to respond. And they, I believe, what they're really wanting us is to re-propose our package, and we're not going to, because we want to maintain the benefits we have currently. So they want us to go to a 401k, they want to cut our spouse out totally so we have to pay for that privately, and they're giving us a voucher of $175 to pay for, what, $300 to $500 of care per month, which is, they used to just give us a plan to retire with and cover our spouses.
Have you taken this case to federal regulators?
No, this is just the bargaining process. We have taken the case of our patient care to the regulators. We have presented a white paper, which was a survey amongst all the practitioners who about patient care, because our patients, for example, are waiting as long as 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks for return appointments, and this is not by regulation. And so we took the survey from the clinicians, put it in a white paper. It's all backed by our professional organizations, and presented it to the Department of Managed Health Care, and they are now looking at the deficiencies.
So we're talking about Kaiser's mental health services.
Yes.
Is this something that would be folded into the contract talks, or it's a separate issue?
No, it's a huge part of the issue. We have battled over the months of trying to get a voice in patient care, like getting them to look at the fact that we've been chronically understaffed for decades, and basically our chief is saying it's not a problem. We're fine, and in the face of what we've known for long, long time, we haven't had enough staff to do the work we need to do.
What does it do to patients to not have timely care?
Basically, they can get in the door, but they can't get a repeat appointment, so it just delays them being seen and being treated, so they get worse in the meanwhile, or they drop out, or treatment just takes so much longer, because if you had a couple months where you could see them on a regular basis, you might be able to get through it, but now it gets delayed out 6 and 8 months because of the wait times for appointments. And critical care patients are, you know, not getting what they need. They are oftentimes putting people in a group because there's no other place to put them.
Ann Amato is a licensed clinical social worker at Kaiser and a member of the bargaining committee for the National Union of Healthcare Workers. In a written statement, Kaiser says it is bargaining in good faith with the NUHW and that the union's allegations that Kaiser wants to eliminate retirement benefits are, quote, simply untrue. Kaiser also believes the CNA's involvement in today's strike is, quote, expressly prohibited in its contract with that union, a position the HMO is pursuing in federal court. A group of more than 80 farmers, seed firms, and ag groups face off against Monsanto in federal court today. The closely watched case is an attempted preemptive strike against the biotech giant's efforts to protect its patents for genetically engineered seeds. California farmers are among the plaintiffs. The California Report's Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca has more.
We're committed to helping farmers double yields by 2030.
In this video from Monsanto, scientists in white lab coats monitor delicate test tubes and tend pristine greenhouses.
With modern advances in breeding and industry-leading tools that play an important role in bringing improved performance to your fields.
But organic farmers say Monsanto's genetically modified crops can contaminate their fields, and they don't want Monsanto to sue them if patent-protected crops accidentally sprout up on their farms. So they've filed their own federal lawsuit in a New York court asking for future protection against legal action by the company.
It is a threat, and it is a serious threat.
Rosemarie Burrows and her husband run an organic dairy in Merced County. Organic food, by definition, is supposed to be free of genetically modified material. Burroughs says if the wind blows genetically modified pollen onto their corn or if the alfalfa they buy gets contaminated, they could lose their organic certification.
We will have no supply of organic feed for our cattle. And this transgenic contamination will put our family's organic farm out of business.
While Monsanto has filed lawsuits against farmers who plant its patent-protected seeds without paying for them, company representatives say this lawsuit is frivolous. Although he declined to be recorded, in a written statement to the California Report, a Monsanto representative said the company never has and never will sue a farmer if its patented seeds or plants are inadvertently found in his field. Monsanto is calling for a federal judge to dismiss the case. Meanwhile, California organic farmers hope this case will focus attention on a proposed November ballot measure that would require labeling of genetically engineered foods. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
And finally, the California Supreme Court has unanimously decided criminal defendants who are sane enough to be tried for a crime may still be too mentally ill to act as their own lawyers. The judges rejected an appeal from a Solano County man denied the right to represent himself. The trial judge ruled the man could not represent himself because he suffered from disorganized thinking, an inability to concentrate, and anxiety. That said, Justice Ming Chin, writing for the High Court, warned California judges to apply the standard cautiously, that self-representation should not be denied simply because lawyers on both sides would ensure a more efficient or fairer trial. That's the California Report for Tuesday, January 31st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.